Now the curtain rises on the first act of Silhouette by Frank DeFelitta in Armstrong's Theater of Today.
There's a dignified old mansion in the heart of New York City which houses the Actors Club. Here, each Saturday afternoon in the library of the club, the Masked Society holds its weekly meetings. One of its famous and most distinguished members is Howard Hastings, a great Shakespearean actor who thrilled audiences in the 20s and whose voice, even now, still holds the same rich magic of his youth. The members are spellbound as Howard comes to the end of Macbeth's famous soliloquy.
Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time, and all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle, life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
Howard, you. I never heard you better.
Well, let's
haven't
say,
you ever thought of doing Macbeth again?
Oh, well, let's say I've thought of it, but I've given it up.
Nonsense. In fact, it would be a wonderful vehicle to return in. Just think, Howard Hastings and Macbeth. My, that would be a great night.
Bless you, Ben, but no. My day is past. Look before you. The hair is gray, the face is lined, the gate is rusty at the hinges, and creaks the mournful song of age.
By the way, I've tickets for Shep's opening tonight. I'll bet you're proud of that boy of yours. His first leading role, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Shep's come on wonderfully these past years. From walk-ons and small bits to better and better parts. And now this first big role.
He's certainly a credit to both you and Helen.
Helen wears an expression of constant amazement.
Oh, Howard, it looks like you're wanted on the telephone.
Oh, excuse me, Ben.
I'll see you later.
Yes, of course. Oh, Willie, I'll take my call on this line, if you please. Yes?
Howard, haven't you left yet? You'll be late for Shep's dress rehearsal.
Oh, my goodness, forgive me, darling. I lost complete track of the time.
Of course you did. When haven't you?
On our wedding day. You remember? I was there hours before anyone else.
Now, darling, please hurry.
I'll be there in a flash. Oh, Helen.
Yes?
How is Shep?
A pacing mass of nerves.
Naturally.
And he's absolutely convinced that he'll lose his voice before the opening night. Says he feels it in his bones.
Yes. I remember. Taxi! Taxi!
Excuse me, sir, but could you spare a little change? Why, Howard Hastings,
John. John Fleming, but you know, it's impossible.
I'm sorry to say, Howard, that nothing's impossible.
My dear fellow, forgive me, I didn't mean, John, I don't understand.
Howard, please don't concern yourself.
Concern myself? Why? Look, John. There's a little restaurant down the street. We can talk there.
No, please don't bother. You must be very busy.
Bother? Why, I was just on my way to lunch, John.
Really?
Of course.
You always were a most convincing actor, Howard.
Nonsense. Now, come along. Come along. My, but it's good to see you again, John. There are so many things... Yes. Do you remember the time Carlotta Ames miscued her entrance and deprived Hugh Sheldon of his entire soliloquy?
Yeah, I'll never forget it. And how proud Hugh was of that speech.
Yes.
Oh, dear, sweet life. The year. Say, incidentally, I see where Shepherd's play is opening tonight.
Yes, we're all pins and needles, especially the boy. Well, you know. Standard opening night jitters, first important part and all that.
Well, tell him for me that he's got nothing to worry about. The son of the great Howard Hastings can't possibly miss.
Thank you. You know, John, your name's being brought up constantly at the club. We've all of us wondered whatever happened to the best Polonius in the business.
Really? Well, I guess you know now.
John, forgive me for asking, but how did you ever allow things to get this far?
Oh, I don't know. He that keeps nor crust nor crumb, weary of all, shall want some.
But good heavens, man, you've got friends. We're all your friends.
Yes, I know, and I'm deeply grateful for that. And I'll never take advantage
yes,
of it.
But look here, John.
Howard, the very fact that I'm still remembered, that I'm still, as you say, being brought up in conversation, well, that's more than enough to ask a friendship. I wouldn't compromise that for anything in the world. If you were in my position, I'm sure you'd feel the same way. Howard, please promise that you won't mention a word to anyone about our meeting.
Of course, if that's what you really want.
Thanks. Hereafter, be more careful whom I approach.
Well, John, I tell you what we'll do.
No, please. Please don't get up. I'll just leave quietly. Thanks for the meal and the talk. Goodbye. Good luck, Howard.
Good luck, John. Hello, darling.
Howard, where have you been? The dress rehearsal's practically over. They've been... Well, what's the matter, dear? You look as if you'd seen a ghost.
Do I?
Shh. Here's Shep's final entrance.
How's it been going?
Fine. 30 line fluffs and 8 miscues. Oh. Then Shep developed a fit of coughing right in the middle of the second act love scene.
Splendid. That should absolutely guarantee a perfect performance tonight.
The curtain's coming down.
Yes.
Never, never again. Okay, take it up. Take up the curtain. All right, people, on stage at 8 sharp.
I'm sorry, I can't possibly speak with a cough drop in my mouth. Oh, hello, Mother. Dad. How was it?
Oh, simply wonderful, Shep.
I can always depend on you, dear. Pity you're not a critic. Well, Dad?
I'm sorry, Shep. I only just got here a moment ago.
Oh.
Although I will say your last entrance seemed a bit ragged.
Oh, really? I'd wondered about that. What would you suggest, Dad?
Well, I'd stand straighter if I were you. You know, great dignity, strength.
But he's been accused of a terrible crime.
Of which he is innocent. Remember that. He's innocent. And the audience knows it.
Well... Wouldn't it be kind of corny, Dad? I mean, the strength and dignity thing, that went out with the 20-cent talkies, didn't it?
You really think so?
And look, couldn't we continue this discussion over thick steak, fellas?
You bet, Mom. I'll get the makeup off my face.
And I'll just tag along to see that you don't get sidetracked.
Fine. Oh, say, Dad, I nearly forgot. See that girl across the stage?
The one chatting with Max?
Yes, that's her. Well, her name is Janet Martin. She's from some newspaper or other doing a feature on tonight's opening. She, doesn't know much about the theater, so I kind of promised her an hour after the dress.
Huh? Well, why not invite her along for a bite, dear?
Well, if you wouldn't mind, that'd be great.
Anything, just so long as we eat.
Why don't you go fetch her, Dad, huh? Mom and I will join you in a second.
Fine, son.
Oh, watch your step, Mr. Hastings.
Oh, hello, Sam. What on earth is that?
A hydraulic elevator. Oh. I don't know, sir. There are more darn gadgets in the theater today. When I first started out to be a stagehand, we did our own carrying. Now they got elevators. Not like it used to be in your time, sir.
No, I guess not. Oh, excuse me.
Yes?
Miss Martin?
Yes, I'm Janet. Wait, don't tell me. I know who you are.
Oh, you do? Well, how very flattering. Always nice to be recognized.
Same brow, same eyes, same mouth. You're Shep Hastings' father, right?
Yes, Miss Martin, you're right. I'm Shep Hastings' father.
Now the second act of Silhouette in Armstrong's Theater of Today. A half hour later, Howard, Helen, Shep, and Miss Martin are sitting in a booth in a small Italian restaurant just around the corner from the theater. Helen, Shep, and Miss Martin sit over enormous steaks, while Howard sips coffee and listens somewhat wistfully to his son, Shep, as he discusses the play with Miss Martin.
And then at that precise moment, the curtain descends.
Oh, my, it sounds thrilling.
Well, we hope the critics feel the same way. You see, Miss Martin, we're trying to do something really different this time.
Oh, you are indeed, and I'm sure you haven't got a thing to worry about.
Oh.
Why, the whole idea is breathtaking. Don't you agree, Mr. Hastings?
It's different.
Oh, portrait of a delighted father, modestly containing his exuberance. Oh, but from the expression on Mrs. Hastings' face, I can see that she is just as excited as I am.
I'll admit it, young lady.
Of course you do. And in his own male, sober way, so does Mr. Hastings. Oh, and I don't wonder. Why, you both must be pleased and proud as punch having an actor in the family.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Wait a second. You've got your wires crossed, Miss Martin. It's Mom and I who are the proud ones about having the actor in the family.
What?
Oh, come now. Don't tell me you've never heard of Howard Hastings. The great Shakespearean actor?
You mean your father? Oh, my goodness, but of course, how utterly idiotic of me.
You told me you were green about the theater, but honestly, I had no idea anyone was that green.
Oh, of course. Oh, Janet Martin, you poor simpering rube. Oh, Mr. Hastings, please forgive me. Of course I've heard of you and know of you. Well, who doesn't? Why, all afternoon, the
please,
name I kept...
Miss Martin, there's no need. I quite understand. After all, it has been years since I retired from the stage.
Oh, but how downright stupid of me not to have recognized you at once. Why, you were my mother's favorite actor. Dad and Mom saw you do Lear on their honeymoon, and it's been the subject of their breakfast conversation ever since.
Okay, you're forgiven.
Oh, but I'm not. That's not true. Why, look at Mr. Hastings. He's absolutely scowling at me, and I can't say that I blame him.
Oh, nonsense. Of course I'm not scowling, my dear. But now, if you'll all excuse me, I think I'll walk back to the apartment.
Shall I go with you, dear?
No. You finish your dessert. I'll see you later.
Howard, is anything the matter?
No, of course not. I'm just a little tired. It's been quite a day.
All right, dear.
Goodbye, Miss Martin.
Oh, goodbye, sir, and do forgive me.
Shep?
See you at the theater, Dad.
Oh, my, I'll bet he's angry with me.
Oh, not at all. Dad hates to be recognized. Mom?
Yes, Shepard?
Is something the matter with Dad?
Oh, I don't think so. What makes you ask?
Oh, I don't know. Tonight, for the first time, I suddenly noticed he seems kind of tired and...
And?
I don't know. I was going to say old.
Howard, is that you?
Yes, Helen.
Why are you sitting in the dark, dear?
Please, don't turn on the light.
Oh, no, of course not. Darling, what's the matter?
Nothing really. I've just been sitting and thinking.
In the dark?
Oh, yes. Everything becomes crystal clear in the dark.
There is something wrong.
Perhaps. But it's not very novel. It's just that today I suddenly realized how old and useless I've become.
Howard, what do you say?
I've been sitting here and looking back upon my life and wondering, what has it all been for? What have I accomplished? I've been trying to convince myself that it all has been a waste of time.
But Howard, you know it has.
You know, I even went so far as to liken myself to a bottle of old rare wine that improves and becomes still rarer with age. But that doesn't hold. Because, you see, even rare wine must be drunk, and then there's nothing left but the empty bottle.
What about the memory of the wine? Don't forget the lovely memory, Howard.
Yes, the memory. It's important to be remembered. At the end, it's all we've got. Lose that, and we've lost everything. Age with his stealing steps hath clawed me in his clutch, hath shipped me into the land as if I'd never been much. How horrible.
But Miss Martin upset you, didn't she?
Yes, but not too much. You see, several things happened today, Helen. Do you know who I bumped into this morning?
No.
I met him quite by accident on the street on my way to the theater. He was begging. It was John Fleming. You do remember him, don't you?
Only vaguely, but
you see, even you. Of course, you remember John Fleming. He was the actor who played Polonius. Bardolph. The fool in Lear.
Yes, yes, of course. Now I remember. Oh, Howard, how terrible.
Yes. He asked me not to mention our meeting, my meeting him, to anyone at the club. He said that being remembered in happier circumstances was the greatest gift he could ask of friendship. At the time, I thought even vain and foolish. But now I find myself agreeing with him completely. Helen, it's all we've got. During our brief moment in the spotlight, we scream and shout and try to make the loudest noises. And why? So as to instill ourselves firmly in the people's memories before someone else pushes us into the background and we become silhouettes, silently begging not to be forgotten. Our peace of mind depends upon people's memories.
Oh, but darling, you're not forgotten. You'll always be remembered.
Really? Where?
Yes.
At the Masked Society? Meetings? Weekly? Saturdays, 10 to 12? And talk. Talk of the great return, the great comeback, empty talk, because we're nothing but a pack of empty bottles. And what sickens me most of all is that I suddenly discover that I am as vain as the rest of them. I don't like being a silhouette.
Oh, Howard, darling.
It's quite a shock finding out how shallow one is.
I think the right word is human, Howard.
Human?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes, dear. Howard, how can you honestly look back upon your life and feel that you've accomplished nothing?
Well, not exactly. I suppose I've made a few people happy. I think I've made you happy. And I've given a son to the world.
Then you have accomplished something.
And I'm speaking about the other thing, Helen. What is the hue and cry, the struggle, the fight been for? Look at me. A vain, jealous, envious old man.
No, no, Howard, please.
Helen, I'm sorry.
Where are you going?
Out for a walk.
But the play, Howard. The curtain goes up in an hour.
I know.
Darling, listen to me. You said before that you gave a son to the world. Well, he's a son that you can be proud of. All he is or ever becomes, he owes to you.
No, you're wrong.
But it's true. As a child, he idolized you, worshipped you. And through the years, he's followed in your footsteps. And now
he's
at last...
He's caught up with me and passed me. And he's shaken the dust of his journey in my face.
That's not so.
Today at dress rehearsal, he was right. I belong to another age. You can't teach new dogs old tricks. No. He's passed me by.
Why, Howard. You're jealous of your son.
No, that's not true.
You feel that he's passed you by. That your own identity is lost because his fame is rising. Oh, Howard. Don't you see how wrong you are? Why, Shep needs you now more than he's ever needed you.
In what way?
In a thousand ways. Your experience is something that's invaluable to him. Howard, he needs you. And you'd have known that if you'd been at the theater today.
Was it that bad?
Yes, and I'm worried. Oh, not about the play, but about Shep. He lacks intensity or something. He doesn't seem quite right in the part. Now, if you'd only talked to him before the performance...
Yes, I know what you're trying to do.
Now, Howard, listen. Shep is going through the same thing that you did when you first started. And I think he's making the same mistakes that you did.
Then he'll profit by them, as I did.
But why must he? You didn't have a father to help you as he has. And if you can help him, you must. What he does on that stage tonight will be your responsibility.
What makes you think he'd listen to me?
You must make him listen.
No, Helen, I'm afraid not. Shep will get along. Even if he is a flop tonight, he'll get along. Never hurt an actor to have a few flops. Keeps him on his toes.
All right, Howard. Shall we go to the theater now?
No. I'll meet you there later.
You will be there, won't you?
I don't know.
Now the curtain rises on the third act of Silhouette in Armstrong's Theater of Today. nothing can really compare with the spectacle and pageantry of an opening night on Broadway. The glitter and color of limousines and taxis slowly edging toward the curb, their richly dressed passengers, the small chatting clusters under the marquee. To Howard Hastings, it's a familiar sight as he slowly crosses the street and approaches the milling throng.
Gardenias. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. A gardenia? Oh, good evening, Mr. Hastings.
Good evening, Molly.
Oh, it's a fine evening, Mr. Hastings, and a fine crowd.
Yes, Molly. I'll take a gardenia.
Oh, I have one tucked away especially for you. Here, a lovely fresh blue.
Thank you, Molly.
Well, Mr. Hastings, how does it feel seeing your son's name up in lights?
Wonderful, Molly.
Why, only yesterday he was just a little shaver in knee pants attending your openings. And now look, his name's up in lights, and you're the one who's buying the gardenias.
Here, Molly, you keep the change.
Why, bless you, sir. Thank you. Gardenias?
Hello, Howard.
Hello.
Hey, good luck to Shep, Howard.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you. I'll tell him.
Evening, Mr. Hastings.
Oh, evening, Charlie.
There's still 20 minutes till curtain, sir.
I think I'll wander backstage.
Oh, fine.
Right, Matt, Red, Foley.
All right.
Is it down?
Whatever's standing in that fireman,
out of the way, bud.
Huh? Oh, excuse me.
George, come back here.
Yeah, Pop.
How many times I told you not to go calling people Bud? This gentleman happens to be Mr. Howard Hastings.
Oh, that's all right, Sam. It was my fault. I got in the lad's way.
Well, makes no difference. His mother brought him up better than that.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Mr. Hastings.
Oh, that's all right, son. So, this is your boy, eh, Sam?
Yes, sir. I'm trying to make a fly man out of him.
See, Pop, look, Chet told me to get this sandbag in a hurry.
All right, go on, take it to him. Hey, George, wait a minute.
Well, what is it, Pop?
That knot in the rope holding the sandbag. Did you tie that?
Well, yeah, sure.
You think it'll hold the weight, son?
Well, of course. That's my best knot. I got it straight out of the manual book.
You're positive, huh?
Well, sure.
Give me the rope.
Oh, my foot. It fell right on my foot.
Yeah, that's because the knot slipped. Better it fell on your foot than somebody's head. Now, how many times have I told you to double the loop on the cinch?
Oh, gee, Pop. I guess I forgot. I'll do it right this time.
You bet you will. You see, Mr. Hastings, we gotta watch him every second. Seems like our job is never done.
Yes. Yes, Sam, I see.
Yeah. Excuse me, sir.
Certainly.
15 minutes to curtain. 15 minutes to curtain, everyone.
Well, Mr. Hastings, won't be long now, sir. Got your fingers crossed?
No, Sam, not yet.
Here, son, I'll give you a hand with that.
Don't dab too hard, Mom. Oh, hi, Dad. Come to wish me well?
Yes, Shep.
Oh, Howard, I'm so glad you dropped by.
Didn't you know I would?
Oh, yes, darling, of course I did.
Mom, the grease pencil, quick. There was much time.
The grease pencil. Oh, here it is.
Yes, thanks.
Howard, darling, is that gardenia for me?
Uh-huh. Molly's freshest bloom.
Mm-mm, it's beautiful.
Say, you two had better hurry out front. I'm on the first scene, you know.
Yes, do let's go, Howard.
No, there are a few things I want to say to Shep first.
It's kind of late for a chat, Dad.
Kinda, but not too late.
Hey, what goes? What are you driving at?
I think I understand. All right, Howard. I'll be in my seat waiting. Good luck, Shep.
Thank you. What's this all about?
10 minutes to curtain.
Yes, thank you.
10 minutes to curtain. Son, do you think we can make a better actor out of you in 10 minutes?
Oh, look, Dad, I know you mean well, but I've been listening to people
all
day.
You haven't listened to me, son. And I've got some valuable things to tell you. Now, the most important thing I want you to remember is this. Before you ever walk onto that stage tonight, before you so much as say one single line... Excuse me, please. Thank you. Ah.
Well?
Well, what?
Did he listen?
Yes, he listened.
Ah, you see?
Of course, it was just a beginning.
Of course.
Just talk.
Well, what else in 8 minutes?
We'll have to watch him carefully tonight. Maybe before Monday night's performance, we might be able to actually do something.
Oh, I'm sure of it, dear.
You know, Helen, you got to watch him every second. Our job is really never done.